Today we're going to analyze the themes and motifs in the short stories like To Be or Oh To Be by Kurt Vonnegut, The Pedestrian by Ray Bradbury, and Die Welt by Ray Bradbury. Before we go on into analyzing theme and motifs in these three peculiar short stories, first, we have some background information on these three short stories. To Be or Oh To Be begins by summarizing the state of the world. There are no prisons, slums, insane asylums, cripples, poverty, wars, or diseases. The population of the United States is set at 40 million people. But since no one gets any older, thanks to new drugs, an adult must volunteer to die if someone wishes to birth a new baby. The story starts when the man sits in the hospital waiting in a waiting room alone as his wife gives birth to their first children, triplets. The only person in the room is a 200-year-old painter who looks only 35. Working on a painting on the wall meant to represent the hospital history. Soon, the hospital orderly enters and compliments the painter on the accuracy of the faces he is painting, specifically that of the handsome Dr. Benjamin Hitz, the inventor of the gas chamber in Chicago. Many of them represent living members of either the hospital staff or the Chicago office of the Federal Bureau of Termination. The painter responds scornfully that the mural titled The Happy Garden of Life does not resemble actual life in the least. The orderly suggests that he can always call the telephone number 2B-R-02B, which will allow him to make an appointment to die in the municipal gas chambers of the Federal Bureau of Termination if he's tired of life. The painter responds that he will commit a messy suicide when he chooses to go, rather than leaving his death to the government. Then, Leora Duncan enters in order to pose for her for the mural. She's dressed all in purple and has a mustache, like all the other gas chamber hostesses do. The painter has already painted many bodies, but just the faces are blank. For Leora's face, he suggests a body pruning a branch from an apple tree right next to the figure of Dr. Hitz. She's embarrassed and pleased because she admires Dr. Hitz so much. This is ironic because Dr. Hitz, he's like the inventor of the gas chambers to like kill people. But like Leora and like other people from this vision admire him. So that's kind of like interesting to notice. Just then, Dr. Hitz enters their waiting room. He's a huge, handsome, joyful man. He and Leora praise the mural, each declaring what an honor it is to be featured in it with the other. Dr. Hitz then announces that the Welling triplets have been born. She's stunned at the legal implications in order for all three of the triplets to be allowed to survive. The Welling parents must find three volunteers to die in their place. So far, the Wellings have only been able to find one volunteer. When Dr. Hitz comments that Welling does not seem very happy, Welling bemoans this situation. He must decide which of his three triplets will be allowed to live before bringing his own grandfather, who has volunteered to die as an exchange. Dr. Hitz scolds him for his misery, explaining that if population control was not enforced, the world would be overrun because of overpopulation. He is sympathetic that Welling will have to bring his own grandfather to be killed, but feels that the sacrifice is warranted since whichever child Welling chooses to survive will be able to thrive on a planet that has space for everyone. Suddenly, Welling draws a revolver and shoots Dr. Hitz and Diola Duncan, killing them both. Finally, his shoes himself, making room for all three children and his grandfather to continue living. From the top of his ladder, the painter witnesses the entire scene. He considers the planned situation and knows that he will never be able to paint again. He climbs down of the ladder and picks up the revolver with the intent of shooting himself. Instead, he goes to the telephone and dials 2BR02B, a hostess at the Federal Bureau of Termination answers the phone, and the painter asks for an appointment as soon as possible. She says that she can fit him in the afternoon, and he gives her his name. The hostess tells him that his city, his country, his planet, and most of all, future generations, thank him. So this is how the story ends. Just before we go into the background information of the second story, The Pedestrian, just bring the attention to the title of the short story, 2BR02B. So this may remind you of someone who is very famous for this phrase and saying, 2BR02B, to be or not to be. Just by representing the zero as not, we can see that the title represents the phrase from Hamlet, to be or not to be, a little allusion to Shakespeare. With no longer ado, we'll now have background information on the pedestrian. Moving on, we have the pedestrian. The Pedestrian is a short story that offers a glance into the future, where a man, Leonard Mead, goes for long walks every evening by himself. The year is 2053, and Mr. Mead is the only pedestrian near his home. He has never seen another person out walking during the many hours he has strolled. He lives by himself, he has no wife, and so it is in his tradition for him to walk every evening. It is never said explicitly in the story, but it can be understood that he is the only or one of the only workers in the societies. On this particular evening, a police car stops him and orders him to put his hands up. He answers a series of questions about his family, his life and family, and his answers are unsatisfactory to the police. This car is the only remaining police car in the area. After the election last year, the force was reduced from 3 cars to 1 because the crime was ebbing and they were seen as necessary. When Mr. Mead answers the question of employment by saying he's a writer, the police interpret his answers in unemployed. They order him to enter the car despite his protests. And as he approaches, he realizes that there's no driver at all. The car is automated. Mr. Mead is filled with fear as he sits down in the cell-like backseat. The car informs him that he is being taken to a psychiatric center because of his regressive tendencies. His behavior is not acceptable in the society. No one walks anymore, and it is queer that he continues to do so as his primary hobby. En route, they pass his house, which is the only house that is lit up and inviting to the outside eye. Mr. Mead's behavior is completely atypical of the society in which he lives. Just like giving more background story to this short story, all the people in the society have air conditioning and television working every day. So by this, when Mr. Mead is walking outside, everybody sees him as something abnormal and something that's mentally crazy. So, well, we have two perspectives here, like, from Mr. Mead's, where, like, nobody walks and, like, the streets are very lonely and, like, everybody sits inside and, like, watches TV, has air conditioning on. He thinks that they're mentally unstable, of course, like not walking outside, having fresh air, and staying and thinking that staying at home is better than going outside. But then the other position would be of the people who are like the other 99% of the society, where everybody sits inside and look at Mr. Me when he walks and just like imagines why would he be walking while he can stay inside and use like fresh conditioning and air conditioning and mostly like watching television, which would be like a from their perspective a better time spending activity than walking outside. So lastly we have The Welt by Ray Bradbury. In The Welt, George and Lydia, the parents of Wendy and Peter, have a technological driven house that will do anything for its inhabitants. The house transports you upstairs, brushes your teeth, cooks the food, and cleans the house. The story begins when Lydia asks George if he noticed anything wrong with the nursery, the most expensive and exciting room of the house. The glass walls of the nursery have the ability to project the landscape of any environment, any place the mind of the visitor wishes. During the particular visit, George and Lydia are surrounded by the African countryside in the distance. Lions are licking the bones of their prey clean. The images are so startlingly lifelike that when the holographic lions begin to charge, George and Lydia run for the door to escape. Outside of the nursery, Lydia comments that she hears screams coming from the room early in the day, but George tries to ease her worries. He wants to believe that his children are psychologically healthy, and not that they are fixated on the blood and violence. Lydia senses that something dark is rotting in her children's mind. They sit down to dinner, which is all provided throughout the house technology. George suggests that the power of the house and like the technological parts of the house shut down for some time. He already used this as a punishment for his kids before. Lydia is thrilled by the idea because she feels as she has been replaced for the house. The house is a mother, wife, homemaker that she once was, and she feels purposeless. George later visits the room again for further observation and attempts to change the scenery to Aladdin. Nothing changes, and he begins to think that his children have maintained control over the environment, furthering his concern that his children have an unhealthy obsession with the Welt. When they arrived home from a carnival, George decided to ask his kids, like, what's the obsession with the Welt? But they tried to deny it. Just before the parents go into the nursery, Wendy, the daughter, goes into the nursery and changes the landscape to woodland. George and Lydia are highly skeptical, and they believe that Wendy entered the room and changed it after they returned from the fair. One of the clues that make George believe that a room was altered was his wallet on the floor of the nursery, smelling of hot grass, and showing teeth marks. George and Lydia are very obsessed with the idea that their kids don't have a healthy mind. So they decide to call David McLean, who's like some kind of psychiatrist, and have him come over to inspect the nursery. The sounds of screams travel from downstairs. Wendy and Peter have left their bedrooms and go back to the nursery. Lydia comments, "Those screams, they sound familiar." Later, when the story finishes, they'll find why the sounds are so familiar. The next morning, Peter questions his father about the future of the nursery. "You aren't going to lock up the nursery for the good, are you?" asked Peter. George explains that they were thinking of shutting the house down for a while and living in a more traditional manner, and Peter responds very poorly. Peter vaguely threatens his father's and stops off. Later that day, David McLean inspects the room. He admits that it gives him a bad feeling. George presses him for more concrete facts, but David can only offer him his intuition. He says to George, "This doesn't feel good, I tell you. Trust my hunches and my instincts. I have a nose for something bad. This is very bad. My advice to you is to have the whole damn room torn down and your children brought to me every day during the next year for treatment." Why exactly I think so dire? The children are furious with their parents and the idea of the nursery being taken away. McLean, the psychiatrist, tells George that the house has replaced him and his wife, and now the house is far more important than their biological parents. McLean believes that there is a real hatred in the scene of the nursery, and George decides to turn it off instantly. As they leave, McLean picks up something on the ground. Livia's scarf. It's bloody. George told his children that the nursery would be turned off, as well as the rest of the house. They began screaming and throwing a hysterical fit. They begged for more time in the nursery, and Lydia suggested that turning it off so suddenly was not a good idea. At first, George resisted the idea of turning it back on, but eventually he relented and allowed the children a little bit more time. George and Lydia went upstairs to get ready for the vacation, while the children played in the nursery one final time. From their bedroom, George and Lydia's children called them to quickly come downstairs. They ran downstairs but didn't see the children anywhere. When they couldn't find them, they looked for them in the nursery. The Savannah and the Lions had returned to the nursery, and the door slammed behind them. They called for Wendy and Peter, but they had locked the door from the outside. They beat against the door, but no one opened, and the Lions began to surround them and move closer. Mr. and Mrs. Hadley, George and Lydia, screamed, and suddenly they realized why the scream sounded so familiar. David McLean arrived shortly after to greet everyone, but he did not see George and Lydia. The children sat and ate lunch in the nursery, looking out on the water hole and the Lions festing in the distance. "Where are your father and mother?" asked David, and Wendy simply responded, "Oh, they'll be here directly." As they watched the vultures scoop down, Wendy asks, "A cup of tea?" And then the story ends. So here we can see that how like technology has taken so much over the kids' minds that it kind of like overcame their own biological parents. So like the mom is no longer like a reference with like a wife, mother, and a homemaker as she was before, and the dad has like no education over his kids, and he doesn't know how to like control them anymore. So he can like still stay in power, kind of, help George and Wendy, Peter and Wendy, to be like the best themselves and teach them important concepts of life. So when the nursery kind of overtakes them in their positions, they notice it and try to think of solutions how to change it. But it doesn't work, and like at the end, their children do have a bad mind. After previewing all the short stories, we can clearly identify the motif of mental instability in all three short stories. For example, let's start with the pedestrian. We can clearly see that the pedestrian shows many signs of mental instability. If from a perspective of Leonard Mead, we can see that the people inside that don't go outside and that stay inside with the air conditioning and the new technology and the viewing screen. From his perspective, the people who have the mental instability are the people inside, while from the perspective of the society, the one who has mental instability is Leonard Mead. So we can clearly see this when in the book it describes the buildings where the normal people live with, quote, viewing screens as, quote, tomb-like buildings. This implies the motif of death, nighttime activity of watching television. This implies that only man truly alive in the world is a protagonist who truly values his time walking. So, we could clearly see that mental instability could also be viewed in Pedestrian when Leonard Mead is confronted by the police car. It judges him to require rehabilitation because he does not fit in the society norms and follow the collective. Once the police car hears that he doesn't have, quote, wife or a viewing screen, it has him get into the car. So then the car could take him to a psychiatric center. So we can see that mental instability is the center of the pedestrian. We can clearly see, we can observe that while Leonard Mead thinks and reflects on how people inside are the ones who have the mental instability, people from the inside are the actual ones who like portray Leonard Mead as the one with who's mentally unstable. Moving on, we can clearly see the same motif in the Welt. We can clearly see this motif in the Welt by Ray Bradbury, because the kids are so technologically possessive, but like they it's more like a vice for them. They cannot be they cannot live fully without the technological house and the technology nursery. So we can clearly see that the kids are mentally unstable when, for example, the Savannah, when they imagine violent things that are not, and that are, could be portrayed as evil, because like always violence and blood and like lions licking the bones of the of their prey, could be portrayed as something evil. And in like the nursery shows what the kids is thinking. So if the image shows something evil, then the mind of the kids are evil. We can also see the mental instability part when George tells Peter, his son, that he will be shutting down he'll be shutting down the nursery for a while. Because he thinks that they're being possessive of it. And George and Peter storms off and threats his father. By that, the author shows that the kid are so mentally unstable that they would prefer the technological house before their father. So where does this lead us? This leads us to the motif of this whole story, that that the technological advancements in the nursery made the kids so evil-minded and mentally unstable that they refuse to see their father and mother as their biological parents and rely more on the house. So, But apart from mental instability of the kids, which is clearly shown, we can also think that the parents also have the mental instability. For example, on page 4, George Hartley says, but I thought that's why we bought this house, so we wouldn't have to do anything. And then we could, from a perspective of quote analysis, many people would argue that this quote does not illustrate anything. But if you put critical thinking on its top level, you can identify that George Hartley says this to his wife, and he's questioning his parenting skills by saying this. What I mean by this analysis is that mental instability does not mean you're crazy. It also means you're worried, depressed, and many other, not evil-minded, but when your brain doesn't work at its full capacity as it should be. So by being worried that his parenting skills are not good enough, he decides to shut down the house, which then leads to the kids being more even aggressive and more mentally unstable. Lastly, we can observe mental instability in 2BR02B by Kurt Vonnegut. We can observe it when, quote, and then he shot himself, making room for all three of his children. It happens straight after he shoots Dr. Hitz and Leora Duncan. What this quote shows us is that Edward, the father of the triplets, is so insane and mentally unstable that he is able to shoot two people and himself just to give life for his three kids. So we can really see how the world and the context of the story of 40 million people at maximum of the population in the United States can really affect the character and the protagonist of the story. So in this quote we can analyze that he is shooting Dr. Hitz, Leora Duncan, and himself to give room for his three children and his grandfather. Finally, from all these quotes and paraphrases from the text we've analyzed today, we can observe that mental instability appears in all of the short stories presented today. 2BR02B, The Veldt, and The Pedestrian. But the thing is, you can see mental instability as one motif. But if you look behind that motif and mental instability, you can really take a look at what's causing that. So, let's take a look. In The Veldt, what makes the parents and the children so mentally unstable? We can clearly observe that what makes them unstable is the nursery and their technological house, where the technological house has taken over the parents' job of being parents, and it also taken over the kids' minds, for example, the nursery. So that's one part of it. In The Pedestrian, what causes people to see Mr. Mead mentally unstable? Technology. Everybody having air conditioning and television screens. We can observe that by people having that and noticing that there's a person walking just for the purpose of walking, you can really observe that technology has really a big impact on this piece. Lastly, in 2B SR-02B by Kurt Vonnegut, we can observe that this society is the one that's making Kurt Vonnegut mentally unstable. But how, by thinking, how does the society make Kurt Vonnegut mentally unstable? We can clearly absolve this by the technology Dr. Hitz created, and by the unnecessary law of having 40 million people as max population. So, after taking a look at what is behind that motif, we can clearly observe that mental instability is the first motif. But if you look behind that, we can observe that technology has a great impact on mental instability, which is the main motif of each story. So, in conclusion, all the stories connect through these motifs of mental instability. But what does that tell us of the theme? So, by making this connection of mental instability, we can see that the mental instability connects with other motif, which is technology. So, in the end, we can come up with a theme that technology helps you in every way possible. It is a good tool to use. However, you should not abuse of it and not forget about your individualistic values and that you're a human being. This theme connects all three short stories. For example, in The Pedestrian, we can see that people with the use of technology really benefited from it because of the comfort, but they forgot their values as human beings and individuals. Because walking outside and connecting with nature is one of the values that human beings should use and should do it more often. In second place, we can also see that this theme in The Veldt, where the parents forget their values as parents, and the children just get observed by this technology in the nursery, and don't really want to go out of their world and mind, and having everything provided for them made them forget their value as human beings, and not having anything in, and not having anything to do with your biological parents, and not being connected to them is one of parts of being a human individual. Lastly, in 2BR02B, we can also analyze this theme, because when the U.S. government makes the law of only maximum 40 million people, it's kind of like moving forward with technology, and like by inventing gas chambers, and Dr. Hitz inventing the first gas chambers in Chicago, we can see that advancements in technology helping the society. But then they forget that. That new drugs and new medicines and no viruses and diseases make people in the society live longer. So, how does that connect to the theme? So, by technology, it's not only like hardware things, but also advancements in medicine, education, etc. So, by this advancements in medication, and by making people live endless lives, what they're doing is benefiting from the technology, while still they forget the values of how important life is, and for one baby to be born, once somebody has to be sacrificed, that's forgetting what are your human values. Thank you for listening, and this was the motifs and themes across three texts, the short story 2BR02B by Ray Bradbury. By Kurt Vonnegut. The Vault by Ray Bradbury. And The Pedestrian by Ray Bradbury.